Coming up on this edition of Utica County Radio, Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer, managing partners, Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm, along with Cassandra Nicholas, fellow attorney at Whitaker and Hamer, will get into all the hot topics. Plus, we have a top 10 annoying things that lawyers do and why they do them. It's all coming up next on Utica County Radio.
Whitaker and Hamer presents
Utica County with Joshua Whitaker and Joseph Hamer.
Welcome on in to Utica County Radio. Your hosts are Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer, managing partners at Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. They're also practicing attorneys here in the great state of North Carolina. And also joining us on the show, Cassandra Nicholas, fellow attorney at Whitaker and Hamer. I'm Morgan Patrick, consumer advocate. Just a reminder, Whitaker and Hamer, your law firm for life. Offices located Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay Farina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City. Josh, we've got a lot to talk about. Take it away.
Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful week or two in the national news. We have everything that's kind of transpired with President Biden pulling his name from the ticket from re-election, and that kind of brings up a lot of issues of constitutional law and things like that. And I figured we'd talk about that. And I'm a big fan of these top 10 lists people send us, right? So I got this top 10 list. What was it called? Top 10 annoying things that lawyers do, which sounds kind of like a trivial list. But the more I read it, the more I felt like I'd like to be able to tell all potential clients these things that we do that might seem annoying. There's a reason why we're doing them. And so we've got our Q&A today. We've got our top 10 list that we're going to work on. But guys, it was kind of a crazy week.
You think?
A lot of stuff happening.
Every week lately.
What happened? I don't follow the news. So I'm not sure. What are you talking about, man?
Well, you know, I would definitely not describe, I know me and Joe have talked about it before, but not a very political guy. I do like the news. I like to keep up with current events, but my life is not, I don't live or die by the news or what's going on. But yeah, so a lot of big news, you know, this past Sunday, as of Sunday morning, the news outlets were saying that President Biden was going to stay, in the election, still running to be our president for the next term. But then we hadn't seen President Biden for a while. And there was a letter, kind of a funky letter that showed up on Twitter saying he was going to pull out of the election. And then within like 24 hours, Vice President Harris became the presumptive Democratic nominee without ever winning a primary. It's kind of a weird news cycle. And as of, you know, we're in the studio in the middle of the week, so you might be listening to this on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We haven't heard from President Biden since all this happened. And so it's kind of odd. It hasn't happened a lot in history. So kind of just an odd situation, I guess.
And simultaneously, he's sick with COVID. So I think, or it's being represented that that's some of the reason that he's staying away from cameras at the moment, is that he's still sick. But it is such a strange situation to receive just a letter from the President of the United States without an accompanying speech, without seeing the President talk about such a big decision for the future of his party and the country. So hopefully he gets out in front of cameras soon.
Tomorrow, I think they said. Thursday.
Yeah, I've heard he's on his way back to the White House from where, I don't know if he's in Delaware. I don't know where he's at. But
yeah, I think he was.
It's bizarre, man. I mean, I don't think anyone on either side of the political spectrum. And like you said, Cassandra, there are purported explanations for it, right, that you can offer. But I'd still say it's just, this has been a ridiculously eventful, like, string of political events over the last 2 weeks. Semi-unprecedented, you know, just in terms of, it's like bang, 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 man. It's like a crazy movie we're watching.
Great tweet from a Canadian that said that they were enthralled with this season of America. Kudos to the writers.
Well, you know, you have the attempted assassination on former President Trump, and we've had all that fallout this week, and I like to watch congressional hearings and things like that. I have them always have them on the on in the background, and so the is it Cheadle? So the head of the Secret Service had to go sit for their.
That was a tough day for her, man.
From both sides.
A tough day.
I was trying to remember the last time I saw someone sit before Congress, and it's so partisan now, which I can't stand. I hate that.
It was like United Front, man. It was.
Oh man, it did not matter. It did not matter what your affiliation was. You were mad at her, and I was happy to see that because it was egregious. You know, whatever the reason, you can. Maybe some of this stuff was just purely an accident. Maybe there's something more sinister going on, but it wasn't good, right? And virtually all, not everybody, some people didn't, but most everybody who was asking her questions were like, you know, you're useless. I can't imagine just sitting through that. You're useless.
It was tough, man. That's all I thought about the whole time was like being her and not having anything to say and just having to sit there and like, oh man, it hurt.
With that job, I might have been sick that day.
I would have resigned. Yeah, I would have resigned. I got COVID. I'm out, man. Peace out.
Before that, and they said they'll still probably
credit.
Subpoena her, bring her back.
Yeah, some they're not done yet.
To her, former President Trump. No matter what your feelings are about him, the facts are that there are strong feelings about him in the U.S. So that there has not been a credible attempt. In the last 8+ years, like the Secret Service was doing something.
Yeah.
But it only takes one mistake.
Yeah.
To be a big mistake.
Well, I mean, think about this too, guys. I mean, I was just going to say everything has changed. I mean, everybody's got phones. Everybody's, they're watching everything, and they saw this unfold, and they informed police, you know, well before the shooting attempt. And it was like it was in slow motion. And the fact that shooter was so close on top of a building, it didn't all add up. And, I knew from, you know, as that coverage started to unfold, somebody was going to lose their job, if not many people, because of how they did not pre-plan or at least go a little bit further out with their security.
Did you see
the thing that blows my mind is we don't do this. We don't do that for a living, right? Like, we're not security professionals or experts, but the fact that they're so little known and that they're given a 60-day turnaround time for like any kind of appreciable report, like, how long does it take, man? Like, realistically, that's what I just don't fully understand, you know? You think you could fast-track one of these things.
Yeah, you think you could get some answers if you were going to go before Congress, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore, right? You watch these congressional hearings, no one's ever seemingly prepared for it, like on purpose, right? Because you don't want to perjure
yourself.
Unless
you know the better for yourself.
but it was crazy. Republicans and Democrats, these Congress people, just to see them break her down, and she just all she could do is sit there. But why go through that and then resign? You know, resigned.
Yeah,
the day it
just
happened,
it,
just like I'm out, man.
Time.
Somebody else's problem, you know. But
I think we'll plan though. Was knowing that she was going to resign, so she was able to go in with like a stronger like resolve.
Right.
If you want your severance package, you got to sit there and you got to take it.
That's a tough job. That's one of those jobs, you know. I always sit around and wonder. You know, I'm not very political. I'm glad we have folks who do want to run for Senate and Congress, but I just think about how much I would hate to do that, you know, like that would be the last thing like I would possibly want to do. Like, if you ever see me out there running for office, like something's happened, like I have something's happened that has moved me to my core.
Family, the government has kidnapped Mikey, and that's what
I like my office.
Your opponent's gonna play this clip on their commercial.
That's right. They're gonna look it up. I just wanna be at my office on the weekends. I like to fish in the lake. I like to sit in the lake and smoke cigars while I'm in the lake fishing.
I was going to say, Josh, if they came up with any kind of legislation that would prevent you from smoking your cigar while you're floating in the lake, then you would run for office.
That's right. I'm like, what?
Or we say that if you're voted into office, that can just be your office in the lake. People have to come see you there right. on a floaty with your cigar. Yeah.
I like to take a pool noodle, like one of the big pool noodles. My oldest son figured this out. I didn't know this. Pool noodles, I usually just put under my arms or like you leaned on them. But he goes the thong route, man. He goes pool noodle. He wears it like a thong with most of it up your back. I mean, he's got pants on.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But we're not naked in the lake.
But you lean back. You can lean back like an easy chair, and he's got his short pole, and he fishes.
Well, you know the reverse life jacket, right? You know the reverse life jacket. You put your feet through the armholes, and you buckle it up, and you basically sit in a water
chair. Floating diaper, man.
Yeah, I've done that. Awesome. I've done that. It's not as good as
the Da Vinci Code. What a genius!
But he's got a short little fishing rod. He just fishes. So I did it with him the other day, but I added the cigar to it, and. I think it's the way to go, man. That's not really legal news or anything, but that's just, you know, if you're out there thinking about doing something like that, you gotta go for this stuff, man, while you're alive.
Yeah.
You can't just sit around and watch the news, man. You gotta get out there and fish and smoke and float in the lake.
You feel a lot better about the current state of America if you do that. That's for sure.
So if we want to get Josh to run for office, we're going to have to somehow try to ban cigar smoking while floating in a lake in the great state of North Carolina. And then we might actually see him run for office. You are locked in to Utica County Radio. Your hosts are Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer, managing partners, Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm, practicing attorneys here in North Carolina. Also joining us on the program, fellow attorney with Whitaker and Hamer, Cassandra Nicholas. Office is located convenient for you, Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City. Five consults are available. These are cost-free. All you've got to do is call 800-659-1186. Josh, real quickly, what's going to be involved with the consult if they can grab one?
Yeah, it's very informal, right? You just give us a call, leave us a message, give us some good contact information so we can get a hold of you. And we'll reach back out. We'll just set up a time to talk and try to give you some direction. And if it's something we can help you with, we'll be glad to talk to you about that and cost involved and be glad to help you. And if it's something we can't, hopefully we can at least get you in the right direction and get you to someone who can or at least, like I said, give you some direction. But these have been working out well, so I enjoy doing these.
All right. We have five complimentary consults with Whitaker and Hamer, 800-659-1186. Grab them now. 800-659-1186. We've got more Utica County Radio when we return. Welcome back into Utica County Radio. Your hosts, Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer. They're the managing partners, Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. Offices located Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City. And Moorhead City is where Cassandra Nicholas, fellow attorney at Whitaker & Hamer, joins us again. We have a three-headed monster today as we talk legalese. Again, we talked about current events, but now we're going to have some fun. Josh, you've got a list in front of you. What are we doing?
All right. Yeah, I like these top 10 lists. I've got the top 10 most annoying things that lawyers do and why we do them. This was written by an attorney out of Indiana. It's posted on a website for a law firm. I can't read their name. But they're out of Indiana. But so I wanted to go through this because attorneys, we get bad reps for doing certain things, and usually there's a rhyme or reason when we do these annoying things. I thought that'd be fun to go through. But before we get there, do you guys know, are they still trying to ban menthol cigarettes? Is that still a thing that's happening?
Wait, what's that?
Remember they came out with that ban for flavored tobacco and menthol cigarettes?
I don't, because that's not, I remember we talked about it, but I don't have an update on the legislation for you.
Well, because you could still buy that stuff. I just thought about that. We were talking about smoking in the last segment, and I was like, oh, I think you can still buy menthol, which you should be able to.
You were talking about smoking. We were here for it, but I think you were driving that train, man. But I tell you, I'm a non-smoker, but the more you talk about floating in the water with the cigar, like, I'm just thinking about becoming addicted to it myself, man, and just doing that every day. So I think you got me.
You
it says it's coming. This says NPR. I gotta. It says it's coming. This was March 2024. I don't know if anything came from it, but
have you seen that guy? I see him on Instagram. He's probably on TikTok or whatever, but it's that guy. He's like an older white guy. He's got like a Cajun accent, and he wears a hat, and he's always in water talking about how good life is. Have you seen that guy?
No, he sounds great, though.
Our algorithms are different.
Yeah. I got a heavy old acid in water algorithms.
Nothing right, sounds wrong with that. That sounds like all of us should have that guy just in the water talking about how good life is.
I'm gonna look him up. I'm gonna look him up in a minute. By the end of the show, I'll tell you it is. But this older guy. He's always outside. He's always in water, and he's just always talking to you about how you have to live your life and you gotta take chances. And but he's always in like the ocean or like a pond. Anyway, I'll get you the information so you can look.
Looks like President Biden delayed that ban, Joshua. This is an article from April that talks about how the ban was delayed.
That's just menthol, right? The flavors were already gone.
You can still go buy a bunch of menthol cigarettes right now. Stock up. Get you a stockpile. And you never know what's going to happen, man.
All right. Top 10 most annoying things that lawyers do. Get off track. It's probably one of these. I haven't looked at all of them yet. But number 10 is they've got brevity or lack thereof. And so this talks about how much school we went through to be attorneys and how much we have to read, how much we have to write, and sometimes lawyers are good at explaining things in like layman's terms, and some lawyers aren't. Kind of like doctors. Some doctors really good at kind of breaking it down for you, and some doctors use all the medical lingo, which, you know, isn't good. So brevity or lack thereof. I like to think in my old age, I've gotten to where I'm very, what would the word be?
You're to the point, man.
Concise. Right, but some attorneys.
Josh is very concise in his email.
sometimes very verbose. Right, would be the opposite of that. But anyway, I thought that was yeah. a good one. You know, and it kind of goes
into.
I
really like this list overall. I'm going to start attaching this to my intake forms.
Yeah.
I think you and I fall kind of on opposite ends of the brevity spectrum. My emails are a little bit more verbose. Hopefully, they convey things clearly enough, but I do use a lot of words. Some of the things are just complicated. You've got it takes more words.
Well, I think that's why we work so well together, because the older you get, the less patience you have. And yeah, my emails, if I can consolidate my emails to like one sentence, I'll do it. If I could get it down to one word, you know, that would be my
Thanks,
goal.
JMW.
You can say anything you want in email, as long as you end it with a thanks with an exclamation point. That's it. You say literally anything. You could tear someone apart. You hit them with a thanks exclamation point. They're like, oh, this person.
Are like, thanks for your assistance.
Yeah, with an just put the exclamation point. You're good. That's my tip to you. So add that in.
The next one on this list kind of plays into that, but bedside manner. And you know, I like how this starts out. It says sometimes lawyers have to be callous, uncaring, unsympathetic. But we've talked about this before on the show. When something comes into our office, almost like a doctor, I mean, we're dissecting it. You know, we're trying to see what the problems are. You know, we don't care how you got into this situation. A lot of times people have passed away. Mistakes have been made. Sometimes there's fraud involved. There's all these bad things. And doctors, too. It's kind of like a doctor. Some attorneys are better, you know, at hearing your story and kind of sympathizing, you know. And I've never been that way, although I may be sympathetic. I'm trying to figure out, okay, you've come to me with these. However we got here, we're not going to spend a lot of time. I need to know how we got here, but we're not going to.
Shut up, lady. You stop crying in my office.
We're not gonna, if we can help it, you know, we're not gonna cry about it. This is where we're at. We're gonna deal with it the best way we can. It's like when I'm talking to the kids, man. Like, and that's how I'd want a professional to talk to me. And some people don't like that, and that's fine, because every attorney has a bedside manner. But we're gonna analyze your problem. We're gonna figure out how to get you forward. We're gonna put the steps together. We're gonna figure it out. We're gonna work it out. But
I think it's a balance, man. I think it's I get what you're saying, and I think we as attorneys are naturally inclined to be more analytical when we look at a situation. Because the reality is we can't get lost in the weeds, man. If we get down in the emotional in the emotions of it, and we get lost. We can't do our job effectively, you know. So I think you're not giving yourself enough credit for your bedside manner. Yeah. And I think you've got. I don't think you're just some. You make it sound like people come in and you're just hard with them.
Compassion.
But I think it's a balance.
Empathy. It's a balance.
We need a tag team, folks, man. We'll just pair up. We'll take
good
our
cop,
most compassionate attorneys and put them with our most, yeah. just yeah. slam on the table.
Just, you tell them funny. To shut up. Cassandra comes in and starts hugging them. Just, it's going to be okay. It's just...
But no, and then you'll have people that'll meet with one attorney and not like that attorney because they're too matter of fact. Or you'll have someone come in and not like an attorney because they were, you know, overly sympathetic, you know, so it cuts both ways, but every lawyer has their own bedside manner, and that's important to know. Number eight, I like, because I kind of do this, you know, they just say worst case scenario, right? So you, after you meet with your attorney, you might feel like the sky is falling, but I think a good attorney does that. Like, you come in with a problem, a good attorney should be able to give you your worst case scenario or your best case scenario, and maybe it's somewhere in between. But a good attorney is going to prepare you. You're going to come and give them the facts, tell them what's going on, and they're like, all right, well, this is what could happen. This is your best case. This is probably what will happen. But yeah.
We got to bring the doom as attorneys. We owe it to you to prepare you for the worst, because realistically, anytime you're litigating, you're dealing with human beings, and the law can be on your side, but you always got to give people that this is what could happen to you.
You know, it's and again,
well,
being
and that's the risk.
I was just going to say, being the non-attorney on the show and kind of being the just, you know, able to comment from, I guess, the average Joe's viewpoint. It's almost like when you go to the dentist and they come to you and they go, look, your teeth are great. You don't have any cavities, but there are 7 indentions in your teeth, and we're going to go ahead and fill those now if you want us to.
If you care about your teeth.
If you care about your teeth, and I'm just like, that's the worst case scenario. Or the mechanic, and again, I love my mechanic, but they'll come in and they'll tell you, well, it's okay, but they've got these 8 things they'd really like you to do, and pay for it now. And so anyway, worst case scenarios, I get it. I want to know what could possibly happen to me in a legal standpoint. I want to know what that is. Worst case.
Well, we're going to tell you.
gruesome detail. The number 7 on this list kind of builds into that. Lawyers as a whole are overly cautious, right? We're not a risky bunch. You know, we're going to, again, kind of survey the scene for you and kind of lay out a path, but we're going to be worried about a lot of different things you may not be overly worried about as a non-attorney, but we're going to see some pitfalls that maybe you don't see. So attorneys sometimes have a reputation of being overly cautious. That's what this one says.
Here's what we're going to do, guys, and Cassandra. We're going to take a short break, come back with some question and answer, and then we will continue and wrap up the program with the last part of this list. Again, there are a number of things that are considered to be annoying when it comes to lawyers and why they do them, things that they do. We'll finish up that list as we wrap up the show, but first, enjoy some Q&A. We want to remind you, too, there are 5 complimentary consults available. That means you leave the checkbook at home. All you've got to do is call the number to grab one, 800-659-1186. If you've got a question about something you're going through, maybe you don't know the direction to go, use one of these consults, 800-659-1186. 5 of them, they'll go fast, 800-659-1186. We're back with Q&A right here on Utica County Radio. Welcome back into Utica County Radio. Your hosts, Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer, managing partners, Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. Offices located conveniently for you in Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City. Whitaker and Hamer, your law firm for life. I'm Morgan Patrick, consumer advocate. Josh, we are again having some of your all-star attorneys joining us on the program. Who's up next?
Up next, we have attorney Ashley Penner. She is with our firm, has been with our firm for a long time, handles estate planning and trust.
Today, our theme has kind of been talking about how you can use your attorney to kind of do some planning. We've talked about business planning. We've talked about family law planning. With Ashley, we're going to talk about estate planning, and later on in the show, talk about, well, what happens if you don't do estate planning? What becomes purview of the court, public information? What do you have to deal with if you don't do your planning? And so, Ashley, in that vein, I know one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is this planning process, and what you can do to keep your information private, to keep your stuff out of the purview of the court. None of us ever want to have to rely on a clerk's order or a judge's order or get our assets caught up in an estate probate or an estate contest or something like that. And people in that vein, we're going to talk about, your estate planning, a will, which I think everybody's pretty familiar with what a will is and what a will can do. That doesn't get you out of probate versus a trust, which a carefully crafted and managed and a manicured trust would keep you out of possibly probate. So that's where I'll start it with you, kind of the advantages of, what is a trust and kind of the advantages of a trust?
Yeah, the trust is a legal document that, of course, you would create as a part of the estate planning process. It can hold assets during your lifetime and then speak to or control what happens to those assets, how they're distributed or how they're held in trust, who they can benefit after your death. And it's the ability of the trust to hold those assets while you're still living that gives you that probate avoidance. They've already been transferred into this legal entity, so to speak, that you've created. You've already designated someone who we call the trustee that's going to be in control of the assets after your death. And it streamlines that process so that you do avoid the probate process or administration process where a clerk is involved in making sure that what you've said in your will is honored in the administration.
So when I was growing up, I think I was trying to think about earlier today, the first time that I ever heard anybody talk about a trust. And I think the first two times that I can remember hearing anybody talk about a trust was, who was the rich guy on Gilligan's Island?
Oh,
who was his name?
Howell.
Mr. Howell.
Mr. and Mrs. Howell, yeah.
And or Beverly Hillbillies. I feel like Beverly Hillbillies a couple of times. But and maybe that's why I think about trust. I think about they're just for the rich people. They're just for people with like tons of assets and that's really not the case.
No, yeah. I definitely grew up thinking the same thing anytime I heard them. Of course, no one in my family ever had a trust, nor have I ever been the beneficiary of a trust. So most of my actual knowledge of it comes from law school, like most of us probably. But it is certainly not reserved for folks, that have massive amounts of wealth. I tell a lot of my clients, if the only thing you end up using your trust for is to hold your real estate, you have done yourself and your family a significant service. Because again, it's going to really trim up what they have to do and how quickly they can do what they need to do, depending on what that is. So yeah, I've always heard this rule of thumb of, $5 million, should have roughly $5 million in assets before you should even think about or worry with or bother with a trust. And yeah, not the case. It has so much benefit to so many different folks.
It's kind of one of your biggest estate planning tools. And a trust is basically, I think of it as, it's kind of like starting a business, right? You start an LLC, you start a corporation, you're starting, the law sees that as its own, entity, its own thing. And so I'll talk to people a lot about probate assets and non-probate assets, but the trust is like a magic bucket that you can put things in. And it, yeah. A trust will not, trust isn't going to die.
Yep.
It may terminate on its own. It can only go on for so many years, but in theory, it's going to outlive you. And that's the convenience of it. This is kind of oversimplifying and maybe kind of dumb, but I like it as a metaphor. But it's like you put stuff in this bucket and this bucket automatically goes to your heirs.
Yeah.
Right? No one looks in the bucket. No one's going to ask you questions about the bucket. You've got some basic asset protection if someone was going to sue or challenge the way you're distributing your things. So it's like this magic vehicle. And there's tax advantages and there's other advantages too. But it's this magic vehicle to get stuff to your heirs easily. And, you know, you think about it, if you've got a house with equity and you've got vehicles and you've got your 401k and you've got your investment accounts, we may not think of ourselves as having a lot of assets, the average American who might be looking at this, but you've got a lot of assets to protect.
Certainly. If you might have a different stance on that if you're being sued and you start looking at what could become subject to a judgment in the event that one is in place, yes, then you absolutely have a lot of assets. And then, you know, something you mentioned, I think that is also good to point out with the trust is it has so much flexibility because it is that, you know, that existing entity. It can undergo changes, you know, a little bit more easily than if you're changing how your will distributes your property. There is a lot more rigor involved in the signing of a will than in the signing of a trust, but also the privacy that it brings with it. The fact that, yeah, no one's going to be delving around into that document and no clerk is going to be looking over the shoulder of the trustee to make sure that, you know, they've adhered to the rules in the trust. It has the privacy that a lot of folks want in keeping all of their business out of court filings.
And I guess there's certain things we're talking about trust, and I've talked to them as magical about being magical and things like that. There's things trust don't do that you need your other estate planning documents to do. So one of the things that you've pointed out to me before is, well, you know, if you have a good trust, your will is what we call a pour over will, right? Where the will is just saying, hey, anything that I haven't managed to get into my trust, please give it to my trust. And so that's a pour over will, but there's other things that will can do for you. And actually you always point out to me, I always overlook guardianship, you know, and so that's an important one to
minor children, right? Yeah, making sure that anyone who's under the age of 18 has, that you've been in control of saying who they should be with, who should be caring for them. If you don't have a will, right, you're leaving it up to the courts to determine with whom they should be placed. And also, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, there might be people who you, as much as you want other folks to be the guardian of your children, there are folks you don't want to be guardian of your children. And the will is a place where we can make that known as well. If you don't leave a document behind that addresses that at all, it could be the person that you ultimately did not want to be guardian of your children who goes and applies for that guardianship. And now they are being raised by someone that, you know, in your mind would have never, your children would never live with. So a trust is certainly a very important estate planning and can be kind of the primary estate planning vehicle, but it can't do everything that we need. So I tell a lot of my clients, you might have a will and not have a trust, but if you have a trust, you should still absolutely have a will, because aside from addressing guardianship, let's say you don't have minor children anymore, you go out and you acquire assets. Let's say you've gotten this trust prepared and you're working on getting everything transferred into it, and then something happens, sudden death, and you don't get a chance to continue in your funding of this trust mission, you've still got a valid will that's going to get everything there.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of clients who definitely think it's an either or situation. Like, well, I've already got my trust or I've already got my will, but you really need both of them. Mm-hmm. And the will handles some things you can't handle with the trust, and is also kind of a fail safe there. So that does come up. I know there's other ways. We're talking about the trust being this magic bucket, which can make otherwise a probate asset, an asset that would have to go through probate, non-probate, private. But there's other ways to make probate assets non-probate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you might have things like bank accounts, life insurance, retirement plans. And on all of these assets, you know, we counsel our clients, you want to make sure you have beneficiaries designated, a primary beneficiary and a contingent. And maybe, you know, if you're a married couple with children and you have this trust, you're going to name your spouse as the primary beneficiary, but then you name the trust as the contingent beneficiary. But even on things like bank accounts, you can name a payable on death or transferable on death beneficiary. And these are ways that you can ensure that those assets avoid that probate process. There's not going to be a a significant delay in being able to access those funds. Of course, you'd have to have a death certificate. We don't want people, our designated beneficiaries, being able to show up at the bank and say, hey, she died, can I have her money, right? We want them to show that proof through death certificate. But that's going to be a much shorter process than going to the clerk's office and setting up that estate, that probate estate, and then transferring the account into an estate account and then documenting for the clerk what funds were in that account, that's going to hold up things. And particularly if we have a situation where, you know, parents are lost and there are children that, you know, will have needs that need to be tended to, it'll allow for much less disruption in the basic maintenance and care for those minor children.
Yeah. Well, Ashley, I think that's a good discussion today, kind of on this using your attorney to plan things out for you to make your life easier, to keep you out of litigation, to keep you out of the court, keep you out of the clerk's office. So I appreciate that. You know, the first step in estate planning is to give us a call. If you call Whitaker and Hamer, if you call our law firm and you want to talk about estate planning, you're going to end up talking to Ashley. And that's for good reason. She handles many, many, many of these every month. And she's a good place to start. And we'd be happy to help you with that. But Ashley, I know we'll talk about this again. So we'll see you before too long.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
That's Ashley Penner. Again, estate planning with Whitaker and Hamer. We are again visiting with the all-star team of attorneys at Whitaker and Hamer, hosted by Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer. Again, hitting a lot of different questions that the firm gets quite a bit of. And folks, if you've got any situation you're facing and you need answers to those questions, you can always call Whitaker and Hamer, 800-659-1186. That's 800-659-1186. Leave your contact information, briefly what the call is about, and an attorney with Whitaker and Hamer will be in touch. And you can email your questions to the show. We'll answer them on a future broadcast. info@JuticaCounty.com. When we return on Judica County Radio, yes, we have another attorney, and she's very familiar. Cassandra Nicholas joins us. It's about estate planning. We're looking forward to this discussion. Again, that's coming up on the other side. Welcome back into Judica County Radio, hosted by Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer. And the power behind this program, where you can find Josh and Joe, they're the managing partners at Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. They're practicing attorneys here in the great state of North Carolina. They have offices located in Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City. If you've got a legal situation you're facing, you've got questions, you need some answers, you can always call Whitaker and Hamer, 800-659-1186. That's 800-659-1186. Leave your contact information, briefly what the call's about, and an attorney with Whitaker and Hamer will be in touch. And as always, you can email your questions to the show, info@JuticaCounty.com. We'll answer them on a future program. So we have another attorney joining us on the program. Josh, who we got?
All right. So if you've been a regular listener of our show, you know and are already familiar with Cassandra Nicholas, but she is our attorney stationed out of the Moorhead City office who deals with estate administration and probate across the state of North Carolina.
But we bring Cassandra on to talk to us about a lot of different things. Today, Cassandra is here to talk about estate administration, probate. You know, those words kind of go together, but basically you're dead and someone, hopefully someone you've named and planned, is taking care of your affairs, taking care of your estate, taking care of your assets because you're no longer here. And me and Joseph, we spend a lot of time talking about planning ahead of time, using your attorney to plan ahead of time to avoid probate, right? We're going to try to avoid the whole process to the extent that we can to try to keep your information private, keep your heirs or your fiduciaries from having to go downtown and deal with a clerk, deal with a judge, keep things moving along. And Cassandra, in that vein, I was going to talk to you kind of about what estate administration looks like when you can't avoid it, right? So you're usually only involved if we can't avoid, and we just spent some time talking with Ashley about trust and planning to kind of keep things out of probate. But let's just say you don't do anything. You never plan. And you die. what's that going to look like?
So absolutely want to funnel people to Ashley. If you're not already in a situation where you need estate administration, please do your estate planning. Trusts are an excellent tool to be able to avoid estate administration entirely. If you're not using a trust or not causing assets to be automatically transferred to your intended recipients by some other means, either as naming them as beneficiaries on specific assets, pay on death beneficiaries on bank accounts, putting folks on vehicles with you as joint with right of survivorship, so that those automatically transfer just as a function of generally a contract. If that's not the case, then there are two camps when you get to me for estate administration. There are folks who did estate planning and have a will and everything, but still need estate administration because there are assets that did not automatically transfer by some other means. So you can die testate with a will, with assets that the clerk needs to assign, award to your intended recipients, or you get stuck with the state's default rules, and that's dying intestate without a will. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. The lawmakers did think, you know, long and hard about how to come up with the schemes of intestacy and how heirs would inherit. But those default rules aren't necessarily what everyone wants. And understanding what those default rules are is important in your estate planning or in considering what happens. A lot of folks don't realize, they think if they are married to someone, that the default rule must be that their spouse gets everything when they pass. But that's not the case. The intestacy statute, if you have a spouse and children, your assets are split between your spouse and children. So if you want your spouse to have everything and you don't want it to be split with your children automatically, you want your spouse to have, you know, the authority to do what they want with those assets, that needs to be done through estate planning rather than allowing just the default rules to exist.
Yeah, that's one of those nightmare situations that we unfortunately see. You know, everybody thinks, depends on how old you are, how, you know, I'm in my late 40s now, so I'll make it to my 70s, right? And people in their 60s, surely I'll make it to
my 80s. You do.
I mean, thank you, me too. But you always think you've got more time, and maybe hopefully you do. But we run into that situation where someone dies way too early, you know. So we've got the situations where the 40-year-old father of three has a heart attack and passes away, you know, and hasn't done any estate planning because that's young. Estate planning is hard to think about. And yeah, like you said, like, you know, if the house isn't owned correctly, you know, we've had a situation where a spouse has inherited with underage kids, mm-hmm. and trying to get that house sold or dealt with when one of the owners is your 4-year-old son is challenging, to say the least, right?
Oh, absolutely, because then we're also dealing with not just the intestacy, not just the estate administration, you also then need to deal with a guardianship in order to, the courts are interested in protecting the assets of minors, so a parent can't just automatically make decisions about real estate that a minor inherited for them. You need to have permission from the courts to do so. And, you know, that is a lot of work, time, attorney expense, court fee expenses, mandatory hearings for guardianships to get a guardian assigned. So especially when there are minor children involved, it's important to do the estate planning on the front end, because we are here and we're happy to help with all of those, but we want people to be aware that it's definitely going to be added time and expense when you haven't avoided those on the front end.
But I was going to ask you, Cassandra, in this public versus private discussion that we're having, if you're passed away and your heirs have to go open an estate for you, whether there's a will or not, so they have to just do some estate administration, what kind of information is public at that point.
So estate administration files, the entire file is public. So some of the counties have e-filing now. So a lot of this is also available, just click the button on anyone's browser. So your heirs, whoever your heirs are through intestacy, their ages, their addresses, what your assets are, and the exact value of each asset, what your debts are, the claims against the estate. So it's a lot of information that's public, even down to the bank account statements. The account numbers are redacted, and on the online filings, you can't pull those bank statements, but in the physical file, which is public, those are accessible as well. So
yeah, so there's a lot out there. I saw, I'm a big wrestling fan, you know, but somebody wrote book. Somebody wrote a book about Ric Flair, and it was supposed to be like a biography of Ric Flair, and they did it just, everything was just based on files they could pull in the Mecklenburg County courthouse. So yeah, any estate that he was a beneficiary of, divorces, guardianships, any kind of civil lawsuit, it's all public record. And the guy wrote an entire book just based on what he could get off the public record. So it's,
definitely. And then, so I'm happy to keep talking about what's public or not public, but I'd also like to jump back to your example of a 42-year-old man who's passed unexpectedly with some debts. There are some tools at our disposal as, or at anyone's disposal in filing estate administrations. If the person has a spouse or children under 18, there are ways to protect a spouse or minor children from creditors up to a certain extent. So it depends on what assets exist, what debts exist, but through a spousal allowance, a spouse can be assigned the first 60,000, currently it's 60,000 of personal property, and that's able to be protected from most types of creditors. There are certain types of creditors, such as medical creditors, that can get at a spouse regardless of a spousal allowance being filed. So there are certain types of debts that a spouse takes on, no matter what, essentially.
No, it's, and again, if all this property was in trust, if all this property was positioned in such a way where it did not become an asset of an estate, you know, that really helps. That really helps in everything that we've been talking about. That really helps keep it, you know, your heirs are going to move easy. Your family is going to just move, you know, it's a tough situation, but they'll be able to continue on without the angst of having to deal with what you deal with every day.
Yeah, we're here to deal with that angst for you. But that is something, even for my clients, that they know their estate administration is happening. It's not completely out of their minds, unfortunately, until it's closed. And some of the clerks and courts run a ways behind. Some of this can take a while, even with, you know, good attorneys in your corner helping you through the process. So we're here to help, but to be possible.
Well, Cassandra, it was good to talk to you today. I always appreciate you joining us and
thank you.
Cassandra Nicholas, fellow attorney at Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm, joining us on the program, estate administration, again, talking about the different levels of law there. Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer are your managing partners at Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. And of course, they are the hosts of this show, and the power behind the program is Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm. We are going to take a short break, come back on the other side and wrap this up. Now, if you've got a legal situation that you're facing, remember, you can always call Whitaker and Hamer. They've got offices conveniently located for you in
Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, Gastonia, and in Moorhead City, where you can find Cassandra Nicholas. The number to call is 800-659-1186. That's 800-659-1186. Leave your contact information and briefly what the call is about, and an attorney will return that call from Whitaker and Hamer. And you can always email your questions to the show, info@judicacounty.com. That's info@judicacounty.com, and we will answer those questions on a future broadcast. We'll wrap up more Judica County coming up. Welcome back into Judica County Radio. Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer are your hosts, managing partners, Whitaker and Hamer Law Firm, right here in the great state of North Carolina. They're practicing attorneys here. Also joining us this week, Cassandra Nicholas, fellow attorney at Whitaker and Hamer out of the Moorhead City office. I mention that because they have offices in Raleigh, Garner, Clayton, Goldsboro, Fuquay, Varina, and Gastonia, as well as Moorhead City. I'm Morgan Patrick, consumer advocate. Big reaction to the Q&A, obviously legal. We're going to talk more now about the list that we started off segment two with earlier in the show, the top 10 annoying things that lawyers do and why they do them. Just to recap very quickly before I hand it back to Josh, number 10 was brevity or lack thereof. Number 9 was bedside manner. Number 8, worst case scenario. And then working into that, number 7, overly cautious. We are down to number 6, Josh.
We are. We're gonna get there. Joseph, I was going to tell you some of the – we talked about all the big news over the past week and a half with politics and what's going on in the presidential race. We didn't talk about the biggest news of last week.
Oh, do tell.
You know what it was?
Is it cartoon related, video game related? What was it?
It was video game related, but the NCAA football came out. Did you play that yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on, man. What do I look like to you?
You doing the dynasty mode? You're recruiting.
I've been doing it with the kids, man. I've been having a good time. It's a real blast from the past, man. You don't know what you've got until it's gone. And, you know, we lost college football games a long time ago. And, because I was real burnt out on the Madden, man. I wasn't doing it. And I hadn't played a Madden in ages, but college football, it's got me back, man. It does. So
yes. I was, part of NCAA football, if you don't play it every day, is you have to recruit. So the computer will generate, if you want it to, random incoming freshmen and JUCO transfers. So you got to go recruit and all this stuff. And they kind of give them the name generators, kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
But I'm recruiting this kid out of Clayton, North Carolina. They gave him Clayton, North Carolina. His name's Major McDoom.
Oh, man. That's fantastic, man.
So yeah, we're on him.
My digital guys, they know what kind of program they're signing up for. And they know the way we like to play, man. They know the type of digital kids we like to bring into the fold. So yeah.
Hard workers.
Yeah, hard workers, man. Hard working kids, exactly.
All right, back to our top 10 list. So we're at number 6, top 10 annoying traits, annoying things attorneys may do. And one, number 6 is being unavailable. And it just says one of the great...
Work.
Yeah, exactly.
It says one of the greatest challenges... One of the greatest challenges practicing law is keeping up with client contact. Lawyers spend an overwhelming amount of time returning phone calls, letters, emails, and text messages. I always tell my clients I spend most of my time during the day in with clients, right? Other clients. And so I usually am answering email early in the morning, late at night. We have all kinds of paralegals and secretaries that try to do a good job keeping people updated. But that is always a challenge of every law firm, is keeping your clients up to date on what's going on. But that's your client. You're not being available to clients when they call, and so that's always a challenge of every practice. That's number 6. One of the most annoying things lawyers do is not being available. Cutting conversation short is the next one.
What?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah. So listening for certain words, stopping you. I do that a lot in consults. If someone's kind of, you know, they may be telling me about what's going on and what's important to them, but they may wander down a road that's not important to me legally speaking. And so a lot of times I'll, you know, say, okay, well, we'll come back to that. But right now I want to focus on this, you know, or we'll try to work people back to the facts that we need. And so cutting conversation short kind of goes back to brevity. some of that other stuff, but I think we all do that.
I like
probably
to start, consultations with a warning that I'll be interrupting them to ask questions.
Oh, that's nice.
Less annoying when I do it constantly.
Yeah, part of our intake process is we use our intake software to get a lot of information out of you. So when I sit down with you, I've already read what you've given us. If you've given me documents to review, I've usually had a chance to look at those. So I try to come into a consult with all the knowledge that I can have about something so that when we talk, we're not starting from square one. Again, time is money, so that's cutting conversations short. Sometimes that happens. And then we bill hourly, right? So if I'm giving you a call, you're on the clock, I'm billing you, I'm not going to let you keep on going. But real quick, I want to get to the end of this list. I know we're coming to the end of our time together, but number four was turnaround time. You know, we have a lot of clients. We're not always going to do stuff right away. We're going to do it by the time it needs to be done. Turnaround time's on here. And then number one, I'm going to skip to number one. I like this. No promises. Right? No.
We're allowed to make promises. That's an ethical issue, truly, to promise any sort of outcome for a legal matter. So you're not going to get them from us.
Yeah, if you ever meet with an attorney and they tell you it's a slam dunk or you're 100% going to win, that's actually a violation. That's like an ethical violation, like Cassandra said. So attorneys shouldn't be doing that. I mean, the attorneys can say, hey, I think you have a good argument here. I think you've got a good chance to prevail. But, like, no attorney should be giving you percentages or promises or guarantees. That's not really how we roll. We give you the best guess that we can give you based on our experience and knowledge, but that's the best we can do, Morgan.
Yeah, I think a lot of shows, give percentage outcomes, and a lot of folks ask me for those, but they're really not available.
So real quickly, Josh, the consults, we've got five of them. They're absolutely free, complimentary. Walk us through real quickly what's going to happen if they can grab one.
Yeah, give us a call. Let us know what's going on. When you call, the number Morgan's going to give you, it's going to be a message. Make sure you leave good contact information, and we'll get back to you. We'll set up a time to talk to you. If it's something we can help you out with, we'll let you know what that looks like. If it's something we can't help you out, hopefully we get you in a good direction. Again, not trying to hard sell you anything, but I've enjoyed talking to some listeners, and I've been able to help quite a few of them out with things that have been bothering them for a while.
I mean, this is an opportunity for you. And again, if you've got any questions about something you're going through, maybe a direction you need to go, get one of these consults. 800-659-1186. They're complimentary. You leave the checkbook at home. That's 800-659-1186. Call now, 800-659-1186. Well, another edition of Utica County Radio in the books. For Josh Whitaker and Joe Hamer, along with Cassandra Nicholas, I'm Morgan Patrick. We will see you on the radio next week.
Utica County is hosted by attorneys licensed to practice law in North Carolina. Some of the guests appearing on this podcast may be licensed North Carolina attorneys. Discussion on this podcast is meant to be general in nature, and in no way should the discussion be interpreted as legal advice. Legal advice can only be rendered once an attorney, licensed in the state in which you live, has the opportunity to discuss the facts of your case with you. The attorneys appearing on this podcast are speaking in generalities about the law in North Carolina and how these laws affect the average North Carolinian. If you have any questions about the content of this show, you can direct such inquiry to Joshua Whitaker at jmw@mwhlaw.lawyer.